This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to What the
Welcome, everybody. Welcome to the off-season of What the Puck. Thank you for joining this Washington Capitals podcast. It's by the fans, for the fans. Enjoy your freedom of speech by downloading What the Puck completely for free on iTunes and Stitcher. Joining me via Skype, as always, we've got Coach Dan Hayden. What's going on, man?
I'm not doing too bad. How are you doing?
You know what? I'd be a little bit better if I could watch some Caps hockey on my TV, but unfortunately, it is the Caps off season now. Guys are all over the world. No one's really back in D.C. anymore. But let's start it off like we always do on this show. Let's talk about what is going on in the world of the Washington Capitals. Big news broke after we talked last week. Alex Ovechkin, star of the Capitals here, turns out he has a fracture to his left foot. And it happened in Game 6, and he played in Game 7, and then went to Worlds and played for Russia over in Finland with a fractured foot. I can't imagine even doing anything, let alone skating, with a fractured foot. But what's going on with this guy? I mean, guy's got to have a lot of heart to do that, but God, that has to hurt.
Yeah, I'm a little concerned with the fact, not that he played Game 6 or 7, or I guess finished Game 6 and then played Game 7 with the busted up foot. But why is he going over and playing in the Worlds? I know he wants to represent his country, and I know it's a big deal, and if I was in his position, I certainly want to be playing for the U.S., but if he's got this kind of an injury, he should be resting it. He shouldn't be playing on it. Even if it's a minor injury, he shouldn't go over there and potentially make things worse. And he apparently did actually pretty well with it. He had a goal and two assists, and I think, one or two games for them, so that's actually not that bad. But yeah, I'm a little concerned with the fact that he would still be playing for his country when he's injured.
Well, here's my question. How did the NHL trainers and doctors not know this? You would think, like, did he just kind of say, oh, I feel fine, it's no big deal? Did no one say, hey, why don't we get an x-ray just to be safe? Why was he allowed to go into Game 7 with a fractured foot like that? Because that's, I don't know, that can't be good for a star player like that.
No, I mean, it's certainly bad. If it's one thing if Ovechkin was sort of hiding it from the Caps, and it wouldn't be, and pretty much everybody, it wouldn't be the first time he's done something like that. I remember during his rookie season, he was actually hurt, but he still wanted to play in a game, I believe, against the Islanders, and the team actually ended up having to hide his skates so that he couldn't get dressed and try and go out on the ice to play. I mean, this is a guy that loves playing hockey. He loves playing, whether it's for the Capitals or for Russia, and I know there are some people that complain about the fact that he doesn't show up necessarily in the playoffs because they think he just wants to go home and play for Russia in the Worlds, which I don't think is necessarily the case, but I think there's definitely some concern there that he's not willing to admit to injuries, or that that the team is unwilling to admit to the injury. I mean, it's one thing if they don't tell him to us, but if they're letting him go over and play for Russia, I mean, I think there's a little bit of a problem there.
Yeah, we've seen recently pictures of him. He's been in a walking boot. Apparently, even though this is a hairline fracture, this isn't going to require surgery or anything like that. It's just going to require a lot of rest. And fortunately for Ovechkin, he's got time. He's got time now. So, but from pictures I've seen, he is wearing the boot. He is doing his best to get healthy. So, I mean, that's all we can really ask of him right now.
Yeah, I mean, I certainly hope he can get healthy. I'm pretty sure. I don't really know all this doctor stuff, but I'm pretty sure he's going to be healthy and ready to go by training camp.
That's what we can hope. But he's over in Russia now, and we got to bring this up too. The few months that he was playing in Russia for Dynamo Moscow, he got awarded a gold medal for his team, Dynamo Moscow, actually winning their version of the Stanley Cup, pretty much their championship, and his name is going to be engraved on that cup. And we saw him again in the walking boot on stage accepting his gold medal and partying on a bus for the parade. So crowd turnout, I gotta say, in Moscow for this parade, but still, Ovechkin
turnouts for their games, anyways.
Yeah, they had like 4,000 people at their games, which was not a lot at all compared to the 17,000 you can fit in Verizon Center. So it's a little crazy to think of it that way, but the guy's actually winning something, so you gotta give him credit for that.
Well, I thought it was funny that he and Backstrom are both gonna get a ring or a medal or whatever for winning. For being as part of that team when they won, I guess, the KHL. But they didn't really. I mean, they played there for a little while. They played there for a little bit, and then they came back over to the NHL. So I think it's kind of funny that they really didn't do anything to sort of push them towards winning it towards the end of their season since they were playing over here in D.C.
Yeah, supposedly the KHL has a few rules, and Backstrom, I don't know if he – maybe he's getting
– Is he not getting anymore?
I think he might be getting a medal, but his name isn't on the cup because he played so few games. I know. He's probably heartbroken about this. You know, oh, no, I didn't get my name on that cup where they almost injured me again and got another concussion in their league. Oh, my goodness. But
yeah, he probably doesn't care.
Yeah, he doesn't care. He was only there. He literally was only there because Ovechkin was there.
I mean, that's pretty much how he ended up playing over there. I'm sure he would have played somewhere, whether it was in the KHL or in Sweden during the lockout. But, yeah, I'm sure he probably doesn't care about silly stuff like that.
No, not at all. So what else is going on for the Caps this offseason?
Well, it's just sort of in general Caps news, a little bit of prospect news at the prospect goalie, and he's certainly entertaining to follow on Twitter. Sergei Kostenko signed with Metallurg Novokuznetsk. I think that's how you say it.
Sure.
Of the KHL, the Capitals still control his rights. So if he ever was to come back over to the NHL, they would still control where he would be playing.
Now, I gotta say real quick, I was lucky enough to go up to Reading, and the one game I got to see of the Reading Royals, he was the goalie, and I was definitely impressed. He's definitely got some skill. So I'm hoping he's not staying in Russia permanently. But from what I understand, of course, he's a hockey player. He wants to play hockey. Due to the lockout, he didn't get a lot of ice time. He's only played 6 games over in the U.S. This is all from RussianMachineNeverBreaks.com. Only got to play 6 games with Reading because of the lockout. They had Holtby and Hershey, so there was kind of, you know, a backup of goalies. And he had a few injuries he had to deal with throughout the season. But I think the big reason he's going back to Russia is because they're offering him a chance to play. So I think he's going to come back over to the U.S. once there's, you know, a bigger space for him.
In regards to how he did, yeah, he did all right. I mean, he had, 6 games in in Reading, and he played 3 in Ontario. His stats were okay. They weren't the best. He's a 20-year-old prospect, so he's, you know, he's not one of those guys that's, like, I don't know, 17 or 18 years old that you're looking at for a lot longer. So he's still got a couple of years before he potentially gets better. Goalies sometimes tend to get at their best later in their 20s, mid to late 20s, where they suddenly become one of those guys that you really want to watch. But the Caps have really good depth at the goaltending position. I mean, you have Holtby at the top, right there with Neuwirth. You got Grubauer under him, and they got a couple other guys coming up through the system to keep an eye on and prospects to look out for. And so if a guy like Kostenko ends up staying up over in Russia, as disappointing as that would be, because it seems like he certainly does have some promise, if that's what he thinks is best for him, then you know, good luck to him playing over there. The Caps will be okay. And it seems like every year they go out and they draft a goalie in June. So I wouldn't be surprised if they go out and they pick up another guy in a mid to late pick in the draft.
Yeah, absolutely. The Capitals are known to do that, but hopefully we do see Sergei back in the U.S. I definitely think he's got a little bit something to add. Whether it be to the Capitals or some other team, he's definitely got a lot of heart. We saw him at developmental, and he was a guy that really jumped out at you immediately, and he was a 7th-round pick in the draft. So, you do get these guys later on in the draft. But, hey, we'll see what happens. Good luck to him. Hopefully we don't see another Russian like Orlov or something going with him. Hopefully he stays in Hershey or the Capitals system, which I think he will. But hey,
yeah, and that same Russian, I don't mean to interrupt, but that same Russian Machine Never Breaks article, they talked about Orlov and how I believe the agent or representative for Orlov was saying that he has no interest in going back to the KHL. And I think Orlov sort of became a guy who was stuck out of the position after his injury. With the guys that were in DC, the defenseman playing well, they decided to give him more minutes playing in Hershey. I certainly think going into training camp that Orlov is going to be a guy, provided he picks up the system, and I think he probably already did in Hershey and probably enough in DC, that we'll be seeing him play in Washington next season.
That's what I hope to see. But you can never trust, you know, I mean, it's terrible to say, but you can never really trust these Russian articles that you read. There's a lot of false news going out around there. So they're probably like, oh, yeah, let's bring up Orlov as well. He would love to come back to Russia. Why not? Yeah, let's talk about that. But
yeah, I mean, I follow a lot of European soccer, or I should say European football. And it's all sorts of rumors that get out, and people just throw things out there to see what works. So I think right now the best place to look for news
Is what the puck.
Local reporters and what the puck. Follow us. We do good jobs. You can follow me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan. Yeah, but I think you can follow a lot of local guys. Follow the guys that follow the Capitals, and a lot of news gets out pretty quickly from them on Twitter. I think that's the best way. Don't go out and just find sort of crazy news coming from over in Europe.
Yeah. I mean, they were I don't think it was the same news team or anything, but, you know, there was rumors that Tomas Vokoun was going to the KHL playing for Lokomotiv after last season. But of course, we all see him. He's a Penguin now. So anything, you know, can be printed over there pretty much. But hey, what else we got going on with the Caps?
Those are much in terms of general Caps news. I think a lot of things that are going on with the Capitals, a lot of things the fans are looking at, is what is going to happen in the offseason. With the salary cap ceiling dropping from $70.2 to $64.3 million, that is a lot of cap space that is disappearing. I don't know exactly what the Caps are going to do. At the moment, they currently have $5.658 million in change in cap space for next season with 19 players signed. Now, that actually doesn't sound as bad as you may think. However, here is who is under contract for next season. For in the forwards, they have Ovechkin, Backstrom, Like, Iret, Ward, Brouwer, Chimera, Fair, Parole, Beagle, and Volpatti. Not terrible, but I think when you look at it on paper, it's not exactly a lineup that you're confident is going to make a lot of noise going into the playoffs. Defensemen under contract for next season are Green, Carlson, Schultz, Erskine, Hillen, and Oleksii. Not terrible, although you got to think that Schultz probably won't be around very much longer, considering he did not see much ice time towards the end of the season and did not at all during the playoffs. The goalies, they have Holpe and Neuwirth, and technically Grubauer under contract, although I do expect him to be playing in Hershey next season, barring any injuries. I think the most interesting thing, what everybody's talking about, is Mike Ribeiro and what exactly the Capitals are going to do with him. With their lack of cap space, and he apparently wants somewhere between, $6.5 million, I don't know exactly what they're going to do with him going forward. He's not the only unrestricted free agent that they have to look into. They also have Matt Hendricks, who's going to be out of a contract and will be a free agent as of July 5th. Are they going to be able to re-sign him? And how much of a bump is he going to get from last year where he came in at $825,000? I mean, do you go and do you give him $1 million a year, maybe $1.5 million a year? I think that would be too much for some fourth-line player. Wojtek Wolski was going to be a free agent, but he actually already signed with the KHL. Tom Pody is going to be a free agent. I know, Tom Pody's still on the team, technically. But he came out and actually said he won't be back. And then there's Joey Crabbe, who I'm guessing won't be back unless he's signed to play in Hershey, and Danny Salvin, who I expect to be back playing in Hershey next season. And that's only the unrestricted free agents. And remember, they only have, $5.6 million in change in a cap space. They also have to re-sign restricted free agents Carl Alsner, who I think is probably – no one's talking about, but I think he's their most important person they need to sign this offseason. And there's Marcus Johansson and Tomas Kondratik, who I also think will have a shot at playing in D.C. next season. And then a couple of guys for the minors in Danek Paquette and Matthias Sjogren.
Oh, that's right, Matthias. I keep forgetting about him.
That's your boy, Matthias Sjogren.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the guy when everybody signed him, no one knew how to pronounce his last name. Sjogren? No, I mean, Sjogren, I think, is a good guy to have in Hershey. He plays pretty well, and you can bring him up if you need someone to fill in on your third line, or probably more likely your fourth line, just in case.
Yeah, there's a lot of names that you read off just now, and there's a lot of decisions this team, this organization is going to have to make. Ribeiro quickly became a fan favorite in D.C., but it was his first postseason in a few years. Didn't really do a lot with the Dallas Stars, but this guy really, he's got a from what I understand, he wants years more than he wants money. He doesn't want a 2-year deal, doesn't want a 3-year deal. He wants 5 or more. Whether this guy at his age is worth 5 years, I'm not really sure. I agree he's a great player. I think, at least during the regular season, he did help whoever he was around. He definitely was a good center to have on this team, and that's something that this team has definitely been lacking. But at the same time, he's an older guy, and do you give him 5 years? I don't know. I kind of agree with George McPhee, because I believe George McPhee did offer him a 3-year deal earlier this season, and Ribeiro said, no, I want to wait for a longer deal. I don't know if he's going to get that longer deal from any team, especially just at that age he's at right now. I think he's going to have to settle for a 3-year deal if he gets one from the Capitals. And personally, I think he's going to get one. I do think he's going to get at least an offer from the Capitals, and I think it's going to be for 3 years.
Well, they're going to give him an offer one way or another. Here's the thing with Mike Ribeiro and the way I look at it. And I know a lot of people are probably going to disagree with me about this. There are a lot of great things that he brings to this team, and there are also a lot of bad things that he brings to this team. And the number one thing he does is he doesn't shut his freaking mouth when he gets upset, and he gets himself in trouble, and he screws over the Caps by putting himself in the penalty box because he doesn't keep his mouth shut. That's the one thing that is the easiest thing to avoid. You take a stupid penalty or even sometimes good penalties, it happens. But if you can't keep your mouth shut and that's why you get in trouble, it's dumb, it's stupid, and he does it far too often. And he actually cost the Caps a game during the regular season or even a couple of games where he took a penalty late in the game and the other team was able to score and get a win. He needs to keep his mouth shut and he'll do all right. I mean, he had a very good season offensively for this team, but at 33 years old, 4 or 5 year deal will put him at 37, 38 years old, and he does want a decent amount of money. He's not going to go and get chump change just to be able to stay in D.C. I understand the fact he wants to put down roots. I'm not willing, or at least myself, I don't think it's a good idea to give him those roots if he wants somewhere between $5 and $6.5 million a year. If that's going to be his cap hit when he's 38 years old, I don't think that's going to work out well for this team. I do think that's going to be a problem. At the moment, he's not my biggest concern personally. I'm more worried about re-signing Carl Osner and even potentially Matt Hendricks and Marcus Johansson. I think Ribeiro is going to be easier to replace this offseason more than any other offseason, only because the cap ceiling is going down and teams are going to be looking to drop guys using their compliance buyouts that may become available. You may see somebody become available that no one's thinking about right now because the team is going to buy him out. And if that's the case, that works out really well for everyone else because they'll have a lot of players suddenly flooding the market and that may potentially drop Ribeiro's price tag a little bit. So you may be able to bring him back. I think if you can get him for a 3 year deal at somewhere between $4.5 and $5 million a season, maybe even $5.5, I think that's a good deal. You bring him back. If he wants 4 or 5 for a cap hit, anywhere between $5 and $6.5, as much as people are going to hate me for saying this, I say you let him go.
Yeah, I'm glad we're not the ones making these decisions. That's a lot of pressure to put on somebody like that. Matt Hendricks, he's another guy you want to bring up. I think he's going to test the free market, and I think even though he does enjoy being in D.C., I think there's a lot of teams out there that would love to have a guy like Matt Hendricks. He is kind of like the all-around hockey player that you love. He's a guy you don't want to fight. He's a guy that he's great on the shootout, can do everything. From what I understand, the Rangers have already kind of been testing the waters. I've been reading a few rumors about that. Yeah, I can see Matt Hendricks playing for a team like the Boston Bruins. I can see the team going after him. They're a tough team. They're hard-hitting, and I think Matt Hendricks would fit in with the Boston Bruins. But again, they're a team that has a lot of stars already, so they might not be able to afford that price tag. But Matt Hendricks is a guy. I hope he stays in D.C. I hope he stays a Capital. But I think out of everyone that's pretty much, you know, unrestricted right now, I think he's going to get a lot of interest because I think his price tag is going to be just right. People are going to be willing to spend a little bit more on a guy like Matt Hendricks but not break the bank.
Yeah, I certainly like to see a guy like Matt Hendricks come back. If someone's going to offer him somewhere between 1.5, I certainly would not be interested in taking even 1.25. I think they could let him go. I do think he's a guy that you could replace in terms of his production in regards to what he does in the locker room and how much guys like him. That's it's another story. I have no knowledge necessarily on how that would affect the team going forward. But he's a guy I certainly would love to have back. I think he's a quality player for this team, and as long as they can bring him back for a reasonable price. I'd love to see him back on the fourth line of the left wing. Him and Beagle certainly seem to have developed some chemistry. I think it's nice. And then going forward, see who will be playing on that right wing for them.
And like you brought up, there's a lot of other guys they have to think about. Carl Alsner, he's definitely going to be somebody to think about coming up. And you've got Marcus Johansson, which just a few weeks ago we were saying maybe you let Marcus go if you can get the right kind of deal for a guy like Mojo, because it didn't really seem like he was gelling with the Capitals, but it seemed like he was able to kind of get used to the Oates system in the last few weeks. So Marcus, he might be staying in D.C. for a little bit longer. Who knows?
Well, here's the thing about Johansson. It certainly seems like Oates is a fan of his, and he likes him, and he gave him a lot of opportunities to play. And to be honest, when he came back from his concussion during the regular season, he actually played fantastic. I believe he was more than a point-per-game player. And then he just sort of disappeared in the playoffs, kind of with everybody else. But he played well. I certainly would like to see him back. But I think this also has another problem with this team is I think they have too many guys that could play in a top-six role that are making a decent amount of money. I mean, I think Ovechkin and Backstrom are both going to play on the first line. There's no real argument there about that one. And then potentially you have Johansson playing on the left wing. Well, then you have three spots for the second line. They're going to go somewhere to Brooks-Like, Martin Irett, if you bring back Mike Ribeiro, and Troy Brouwer. Those are four guys for three spots. I don't know necessarily how that's going to work out. Yes, you could potentially bump someone like Brooks Like back to the third line, but do you want someone on your third line with a cap hit of $4.5 million when the cap ceiling is dropping by $6 million? I don't think that's a very good idea. I certainly think they have a problem going forward. And to be honest, I would not be surprised this offseason to see one of those guys I just mentioned traded. I don't think they'll be bought out, but I do think that someone like Brooks Like, or my guess, and honestly, my guess is Troy Brouwer could end up being traded at some point this offseason.
Wow, you're thinking Brouwer?
The only reason I say that is because his cap hit is not as high as the other guys. I think Brouwer's cap hit for the next three seasons will be 3.6 and change, whereas Martin Erat is 4.5, Brooks Like is 4.5, and no one knows what Ribeiro's or whoever his replacement will be. Now, yes, we could put Like in the center spot on the second line, and you could play Brouwer and Erat on either side of him. I don't think Like is a second line center. I think they could definitely go out and find someone better to play on that line. The only reason I say Brouwer is because I think he's a talented player with a low enough cap hit that you can get a decent return for him. You could move Martin Erat, but I think with the way McPhee was talking at the deadline, that he intended to keep Erat around for more than just that season. But if someone comes calling about him and the return is decent, I'm sure we'd see Erat get moved out. There's a possibility that Brooks Like gets traded. Let's be honest. I think that is a possibility, but I think because of his injury history, at least his recent injury history, and his high cap hit, I don't think the return would be enough. I think if you traded someone like Brooks Like, it would be a salary cap dump. You could trade Ribeiro's rights, but it still doesn't really help you in the fact that you still don't. Then in that case, you don't have a second line center. So my guess is if they're going to trade one of those guys that could play a top six role, it would be Troy Brouwer.
Wow. That's something to think about. You make a lot of good points. Going to be a busy summer for George McPhee. Absolutely. Going to be a lot for us to talk about. We should change gears just real quick. Talk about Brooks Like. Me being the Baltimore kid that I am, it was good to see Brooks Like wearing an Orioles jersey on Monday. He got to throw
that out was pretty nice.
He got to throw out the first pitch at the O's game, man. I got to say, he did pretty well.
It wasn't a bad pitch. It certainly wasn't one of those ones that you saw from Wizards guys. What was it? John Wall, I think, had a bad one. And Caron Butler back in the past, he threw a pretty bad pitch back down at Nats Park. It was a nice pitch. I think he said he wanted to throw it from the mound, but they wouldn't let him, which I thought was pretty funny. But at least if he's able to throw a pitch, why is he playing some hockey games? Always, because they choked in the playoffs. But I think it looks like he's getting better, he's getting healthier, and he'll be ready to go at the beginning of next season, or at least at the beginning of training camp.
You know, this is really nice. You know, Ovechkin, he got to throw out the first pitch in an O's game. I believe it was two seasons ago, right before the Baltimore Hockey Classic. Now we got Brooks Like up in Baltimore. I love seeing the Baltimore-Washington Capitals relationship. It's good to know that I'm not the only Caps fan out there that's in Baltimore. So it was nice to see that. But, hey, anything else going on in Caps world?
Well, the only other things that will be interesting for the offseason is what the team is going to decide to do with their two compliance buyouts. To be honest, I think Jeff Schultz is going to be one. I don't think that'll be much of a surprise. He wasn't using the playoffs and sparingly during the regular season. His cap hit is too high. I mean, Schultz's cap hit comes out to $2.75 million. I think for a guy that you're not using to have that kind of a cap hit, I think Schultz is going to be out of here as soon as they have the opportunity to buy him out. The other one, I'm not too sure. I think in the past I was saying Joel Ward's a pretty easy pick, but it's harder now. I think Oates certainly likes him. He likes the energy he brings to the team. He's tied for the team in points during the playoffs. That shouldn't have been the case, but unfortunately that's what it was. I think he plays a good game for this team, but unfortunately, I think in regards to his cap hit and the point production that he brings to this team, as great as he may be in the locker room, as much energy as he may bring, I think you go ahead and you buy out Joel Ward and put Eric Fehr into his spot.
Wow, yeah, I agree with the Schultz point. I think Schultz is pretty much gone. I believe all the fans or the majority of the fans will agree with us there, that they're okay with Schultz kind of leaving the organization that way. But we have said Joel Ward in the past. Who knows? Maybe you buy out a guy. I don't know. Like I don't really think like buying out a guy like Matty P or something would be kind of worth it. I mean, you're kind of using that buyout as a way to take out a big cap hit to your team so you can get underneath that that ceiling you have to be under. So I don't see a lot of teams like wasting it on a player who doesn't make that much. I think if they're going to use these buyouts, it's going to be guys with big price tags. I think Schultz right now is a no-brainer. I don't see him coming back to D.C.
Yeah, I mean, Schultz, I think the writing's pretty much on the wall with this guy. I mean, he doesn't play enough. And for the cap hit that he's getting, you're not going to let that just sit in the press box when the cap ceiling is dropping by $6 million. And the only other guy, the thing is with the compliance buyouts is you can't buy a guy out and then re-sign him. If you buy a guy out, you're not allowed to re-sign him. You know, maybe they'll be, I don't even know if you're allowed to like trade for him in the next year or something like that. I'm sure there's sort of teams will try and find loopholes that, you know, I'm sure the NHL tried to close at some point, but you could go out and you could see a guy like potentially a Brooks like get bought out or even maybe Martin Erat or something like that. If they decide that this isn't a guy they want going forward,
you might look,
dare I say, John Erskine.
Possibly you leave John Erskine out of this.
No, I mean, Erskine's not getting bought out because they just signed to that new deal. I still don't understand why they gave him so much money when the fact is he does have a limited skill set.
Right. Maybe you're looking at a guy like Michael Neuwirth. I mean, he did just get a new deal this past year, but it was a lot of money for a guy who is you can say he's a backup. I mean, Holtby got the majority of the starts this year. So you can, for at least this season, he could be considered the backup. So that's a lot of money to spend on a backup goaltender.
I'm glad you brought up Neuwirth because that was sort of the next point I wanted to make. That I think he's going to get traded in the offseason. That would be my guess. I don't think they're comfortable necessarily with Philip Grubauer being the next guy behind Holtby. And I personally don't like that idea because I'd rather he get full-time playing in Hershey than playing as a backup in D.C. But I think you could trade Neuwirth in a deal similar to the one that they moved when they moved out Semyon Varlamov. You're probably not going to get quite as nice of a trade, but I think you could move him out to a team that's looking for a young goalie, be able to bring in some picks and prospects, or potentially even a player, and then go out and sign a veteran backup to back up Holtby for next season until Grubauer is ready. I don't understand why. As much as they want to keep saying that like Holtby and Neuwirth are both their number one goalies, I think we've seen that Holtby's the number one goalie. Unless he suddenly falls apart, he's their guy going forward. And if you can get something for Neuwirth, you move him out. However, Neuwirth had a lot of problems last season where he was getting injured, and they didn't play very well in the beginning of the season, so it made him look worse in terms of his statistics. So is his value as high as should be? They could go another season holding on to him, try and play him more to build up his value, and then ship him out at some point next season. I think that's something to look at going forward.
Yeah, again, George McPhee's got a lot of big decisions to make. We got a lot of big names. We got a lot of stuff that he has to consider here. That he really needs to build the best team. He's tried to do it before, and it has not worked out yet. So this is really going to be a big offseason. Last offseason, I think a lot of people saw the writing on the wall with the lockout, so a lot of moves were not made. I mean, George McPhee pretty much was like, I don't really want to do anything because I don't think we're going to have a season. So now that we know that there's going to be a season, I think we're going to see a lot of big trades, a lot of big buys. I think like last June was a complete sleeper. I mean, nothing happened. I think we're going to get constant news this time around.
Yeah, it'll be nice going into an off season without having to worry about a lockout.
That's new. Something new for the NHL.
It's interesting to have some sort of it's calmer in that, you know, we're not here going, are they going to sign a deal? We're going to have hockey to watch, you know, and not having to go and watch KHL games on my Xbox. And actually, or on the internet, and actually be able to go and go into when, you know, we'll probably end up going down to rookie camp or development camp, as they call it, and, you know, actually not having to sit there and go, was this the last hockey I'm going to see in person for a long time? You know, actually getting to be comfortable and knowing, okay, at this point, these guys are going to be coming in for training camp, and at this point, these guys are going to be doing that, and Brooks like's not going to go over to Europe and hurt his groin or hip or head or whatever the hell happened to him. That knocked him out for the season. It's nice to know that going forward, we're actually going to get to see hockey for like the next 8 years until they have another lockout, because that's how they do things.
Pretty much. That's just how they do things. So
it's good times.
So we covered everything, I think, for this off-season edition for Caps World. Is that right?
Yeah, that's pretty much it going on with the Caps right now.
All right, well, nothing's going on in D.C. Let's hit the road, man. Let's go up 83 and let's talk Hershey Bears and Reading Royals. Now, as we all know, the Hershey Bears season's already over. They're already making some moves, but let's talk about the team that's actually still playing hockey right now. Let's start it off talking about the Reading Royals. How are these guys doing in the Kelly Cup Finals?
Well, Reading is one game away from actually making history. They currently lead the Stockton Thunder 3-0 in the Woo! Kelly Cup Finals, indeed. They have a chance to go for the sweep on Friday in Stockton. However, if that is unfortunately not the case, If necessary, they will be playing Game 5 Saturday in Stockton, and then Games 6 and 7 will be back in Reading Tuesday, May 28th, and Game 7 will be Wednesday, May 29th. But let's hope that they can go for the sweep on Friday and bring the Kelly Cup to Reading.
Now, unfortunately, since we're down, you know, in Maryland, D.C. area as well, we don't get to see any of this Reading Royals action. But from what I understand, these have been really great games, and the Reading Royals have really been playing some of the best hockey they've ever played. And it really shows. I mean, what an amazing feat right now to be in the Kelly Cup Finals and go 3-0.
I mean, it certainly has to give them a lot. It certainly makes them comfortable. The hope is that, I guess, that they don't sort of sit back on that and go, well, all we have to do is play decent enough to get a win. I think they need to go out there and keep fighting, earn that game four. And, I mean, it'd be nice for them to sort of be able to win it in Reading, but I think a win is a win, and a championship is a championship, and I think they can go out Friday and finish this thing. For more information on Reading, be sure to follow We Bleed Purple at purple_we_bleed on Twitter. The nicest thing about Reading, though, I think, is that they're purple versions of the Caps jerseys they've been wearing. I don't know if you check these out.
Dude, those things are sweet.
They are pretty nice. I actually went to their website earlier and was looking to see if I could buy one online. No dice.
No.
Knowing them, it'll be like $1,000.
They do have some pretty pricey jerseys. I got my own Reading Royals jersey on eBay right after the Capitals agreement that they were going to be affiliates. But if they go with this new style of this Capitals writing, still using the purple colors like they have, saying Reading Royals, I am so for that. It is a sweet logo, great design on that. I absolutely love it. So hopefully they keep that going, and hopefully they bring the Kelly Cup home to Reading.
That would certainly be nice. In regards to Hershey, unfortunately, they were not able to continue playing in their playoffs. They actually announced recently that head coach Mark French will not return for the 2013-2014 season. He leaves Hershey as the fifth winningest coach in team history. That is all of the news up 83.
All right, well, there's still some hockey going on around this country so far, so let's talk about it. Let's go around the NHL. All right, well, we still got the Stanley Cup playoffs going on. We've got plenty of teams vying for the Stanley Cup. What's going on?
All right, let's go with some Stanley Cup playoff news first. Pittsburgh, who's currently taking on Ottawa, and I think currently crushing Ottawa after Ottawa was up 2-1. I think the last I checked, they were up 7-3, which is ridiculous. Thanks for showing up, Ottawa.
Suck
Ottawa. They are up 2-1, 2-1, unless some sort of ridiculous comeback happens. Pittsburgh will be up 3-1 after tonight. Boston is up 3-0 against New York. Good.
Really, this really makes the Capitals look bad. If Boston can sweep the Rangers like that, it's going to look like the Capitals are like just the worst team ever.
What? Well, no, let's not go crazy. I think that's reserved for Columbus. But no, I'm sure. actually, Columbus had a pretty good season. I think part of the problem is that it looks like Lundqvist actually got hurt in one game, and he may not be playing at the level he's accustomed to playing in the playoffs, which is unfortunate for him, but whatever, dude, you play for the Rangers, so that's your problem. Boston's up 3-0, looking to sweep New York. Detroit leads Chicago 2-1. That was a bit of an interesting game three with some very interesting calls by the referees on a no goal that potentially cost Chicago the game. And LA and San Jose are tied at 2-2. Let's go into some award news. Chicago's Patrick Kane, the Islanders' Matt Molson, and Tampa Bay's Martin St. Louis were named finalists for the Lady Byng Memorial Trophy. The award goes to the player adjudged to have exhibited the best type of sportsmanship and gentlemanly conduct combined with a high standard of playing ability.
Patrick Kane is up for that award?
The funniest thing I thought was that is that the word gentlemanly and Patrick Kane were in the same award, like, announcement. That doesn't make a lot of sense to me because that dude apparently is a bit of a douchebag. Either way,
if he got an award for, you know, like, sickest homemade shirt for when he's out partying, you know, and has Kane on the back, he would win.
He's such a putz. Either way, I don't think Kane's going to win that one because, as we mentioned, he's a putz. I'm going to guess that's going to go to St. Louis. That guy seems to be a bit of a nice guy. Does a lot of stuff. He's very sportsman, got good sportsmanship, and very gentlemanly, I guess, even though he looks like Frodo. Ottawa's Daniel Alfredson, LA's Dustin Brown, and Chicago's Jonathan Toews are finalists for the Mark Messier NHL Leadership Award, given to the player who exemplifies great leadership qualities to his team on and off the ice during the regular season. I think if they want to go for nostalgia's sake, they're going to go with Daniel Alfredson just because he's probably at the end of his career. I think Taves is certainly a guy that should get the award. And Dustin Brown's also a good nomination. It's sort of hard to see who that one's going to. My guess is going to go to Chicago's Jonathan Taves.
Chicago, man, cleaning up.
I think they're doing pretty good in the trophies. It looks like, unfortunately, they're not doing too well in the playoffs after having a ridiculous regular season. Into some general NHL news, Vancouver announced today that they have fired head coach Alain Vigneault and assistant coaches Rick Bowness and Newell Brown. To be honest, I think we're going to see some big changes in Vancouver this offseason, and I certainly hope that the Capitals take advantage and are potentially able to pry away some pretty talented players. In the past, I would have said I would like to have Ryan Kessler, but he's had some injuries lately, but Kessler would look fantastic if he can stay healthy on the second line here in D.C. Maybe a guy like an Alex Burrows would be fun to have because he's a bit of an agitator but also a pretty good hockey player. Or maybe you can go out and pry one of their defensemen away. I do think there are going to be some big changes in Vancouver in this offseason. Hockey Hall of Famer Patrick Waugh is reportedly going to be the next head coach of the Colorado Avalanche. Huh. Let's hope he doesn't try and beat up any players because apparently Patrick Waugh is a bit of a crazy person. Veteran defenseman Andy Sutton announced his retirement, I believe it was today, and he was an undrafted free agent, ended up playing with the San Jose Sharks, Minnesota Wild, and Atlanta Thrashers, remember them, the New York Islanders, Ottawa Senators, Anaheim Ducks, and Edmonton Oilers. The United States came in third in the IIHF World Championships. Sweden actually defeated Switzerland to take the gold after, I think, Switzerland went undefeated in the tournament until the championship game. Not exactly the best time to crap the bed. And here's a shocking suspension news. San Jose's Rafi Torres has been suspended for the remainder of the series against the LA Kings for an illegal hit to the head of Jarrett Stoll in Game 1. I actually watched the video of the hit. I don't think it was intentional headshot, but it was still a really bad hit. He could have easily gone to hit Stoll on the body, but instead he went for the sort of the shoulder-to-shoulder check, which resulted in him sort of brushing off the shoulder and clocking Stoll right into the side of his head. I think he certainly earned the suspension, especially after, what was it, last year, he was a dummy and got himself suspended with a big suspension last year. That is all of the interesting NHL news from the past week.
Wow, man. So still a lot going on with the NHL. You know, even though it is the offseason, the Capitals had plenty going on. They're going to have a lot going on in the future. Again, this is usually the part of the show where I tell you where you can catch the Capitals, but of course, you can't see any of them on TV.
You can catch them on the golf course because they choked.
but for what it's worth, go Royals. That's a team we're all rooting for right now. Go Reading Royals. Bring that Kelly Cup home. Best of luck to them. Now, like we said at the beginning of the show, this show is completely for free. It's by the fans, for the fans, and we want you guys to enjoy the show as much as possible. What you could do to help spread the word, let somebody know about the show, man. Text them, tweet them, go over to Facebook, go to Twitter, go to Tumblr, go to Pinterest, go to Vine, go to Reddit. Let people know that you're a big fan of What the Puck and that they should check it out as well. We do the show completely for free. You download the show completely for free. Go over to iTunes, write us an iTunes review. Make sure you subscribe to the show. That way, every time we do a new show, it'll get downloaded automatically straight into your iTunes or on the podcast app if you have an iPhone, iPad, or iPod Touch. We're also available on Stitcher. Some weeks, when Stitcher decides it wants to work, the shows will be there. No idea why last week's show did not show up on Stitcher. Everything is correct, and it should have been there, but for some reason, it's not. We're still trying to figure that out, but still sign up for it if you're an Android user or if you just prefer Stitcher over, you know, the podcast app. It's your choice. Whatever. The show is for free. You listen to it the way you like. Go to www.whatthepuckcaps.brandocash.com. You can check out the show if you're at a desktop, if you're at your work and you're bored and you want to hear somebody talk about some puck. You can listen to it there. You can listen to all of our old shows. They're all archived there. So if you want to relive some of that Caps magic from this season, we have all our past shows there, so definitely check it out there. You can follow me on Twitter at Brando Cash. I'm always tweeting about the Capitals or whatever I got going on in my crazy life. But Coach Dan, he's on Twitter as well. Where can people check you out at?
You can find me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan. You can also find me at CapitalsOutsider.com. This is a fan-run website devoted to the Washington Capitals. I actually have a new article coming out, I think later tonight or tomorrow, hopefully. It's about the top six roles for the Capitals. I actually mentioned that earlier in this show. But it's about the top six roles for the Capitals and how they have too many guys for those respective spots. That's CapitalsOutsider.com. But Brandon, What about the Brando Cash Network?
That's right. Go over to Facebook.com/BrandoCash. Like us over there. You'll get news about this show and all the other shows on the Brando Cash Network, like The Call or The Payoff Pitch, and plenty of other stuff going on around there. You can also like the What the Puck Facebook page, and that is Facebook.com/WTP Podcast. Two P's in that. Make sure you include two P's for WTP Podcast. And you can check us out there as well. So that's pretty much it for What the Puck this week. Enjoy the off season, and we'll talk to you next week.
This has been a production of the Brando Cash Network. Music mixed and produced by DJ Wolfman.
Everybody, this is usually the part of the outtakes. Something really funny happened, but I didn't record it. And that's usually a big part of podcasting is recording things. And we didn't, so it's okay.
Yeah, because if you're not recording, now we're just having a conversation.
Which is fine.
Which is fine.
But not really good work for our show. Joining me via Skype, as always, I can see him. Honestly, I can see Matt Hendricks playing for a team like the Bruins, a big, tough team. They could use an enforcer like that. Sorry, I just freaked myself out because my cat just went past my leg.
Oh God, what's in his basement?
Yeah, I was
the start of a bad horror film.
I was just really freaked out.
Attack of the Cat.
Sorry, damn it, Zamboni. All right.
Damn you.
All right.
So interrupting our podcast.